Last week we were talking about the price of influence. And we were talking about Peter. Today we're going to look at Joshua chapter 3. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. We've been dealing with a series on influence, making a difference in people's lives. The greatest people who make difference in people's lives sometimes don't even know they're doing that. They just are what they are. But we talked about Peter last week and how he really had a good heart. He really had a good heart and told the Lord that if everybody else denies you, I'll never deny you. But we know that he did. And as he went off into the night, his heart was broken. He realized that the price of influence is greater than just words. The price of influence takes a tremendous commitment. Influence is not real effective when things are always right. Influence is greater when things are rougher and tougher. It's really important to me to be able to stand up here. I'll always have a longing to be a full-time pastor, to be able, I think about what it would be to have that kind of time, just to be able to really, really take care of church the way it needs to be. And maybe one day that the Lord will let that happen, but I do feel like that my primary responsibility all week long is to find God, find my place in God, and find out what he would have me to say to you each and every Sunday, and I try to do that. This time has really been a beautiful time with me and the Lord because I have felt his presence so strong, and I really want you to understand that sometimes it's difficult to be able to share to you all what he does share with me, but I try to do that to let you know that God is speaking to us during this time. We're in a very critical time in America. And when I begin to think about influence is greater when things are tougher, then I would say that now is the greatest opportunity the church has ever had to be an influence. Right here in our own city, we you turn on the news and it would be somewhere way off, but right here in our own city, people are hurting in devastated ways. Peter thought that he could just have a good intention and he'd be able to do what God would have him to do. But he found out real quick that when pressure comes, all of our intentions will melt. Only thing that will stand is a committed heart to God. And God led me to Joshua. Now, Peter, you know, as he developed himself, he ended up preaching on the day of Pentecost and became a great, mighty warrior for God in his day. But I want to go back to Joshua chapter 3 because Joshua is facing a difficult time. And we talked about the price of influence. The first thing I want to say to you about the price of influence is it takes supernatural courage. It takes supernatural courage because every one of us have good intentions. And how many of you come at the end of the week and said, man, I was going to call somebody or I was going to do something or I was going to check on somebody and I just got so busy and... You know, we all do that, right? Every single one of us have been. I've done that. You do that. It's just life. That's just the way it is. And God wants us to understand this is a supernatural event that's about to take place. I want to say it this way. The elections. Now, elections are what they are. But I want you to understand that this time in the history of America, it is critical more than ever before. Side note, I want you to make sure you vote. There's early voting going on now, whatever, if you have to stand in line, whatever you have to do, but make sure you vote. Because this is critical, critical times in America. If there ever was a time that God is going to use us in the area of influence, it's now. But The key is, you're going to have an ear to hear what he's saying. You're going to have to understand, as I look at this, and I feel drawn, and I've never been one to just sit there and listen to a lot of debates. I'll just really be honest with you, because politics has not been my thing. But this one has been different, because I feel a drawing to listen. And I hear all the rhetoric just like you do, but the Lord tells me to look beyond all that and see that our nation, our nation right now is at a place that it's never been before, because now there is no direction. Now everything is good, everything is okay, it doesn't matter what it is, it's okay. How many of you know that? Our nation now has no direction. So I would say, back to my original point, that if there ever was a dark time in America, it's now. If there ever was a time that people needed to know direction, it's now. Now I understand that as dark as it is, we can't hide our light under a bushel. Remember that little story we used to sing in Vacation Bible School and stuff? Don't hide your light under a bushel. Well, now it's critical. Now it's critical more than ever before. So as I listen to this, the Lord said it's going to take supernatural courage. So I went to Joshua. Now we're going to pick up on chapter 3. But I want you to go back to chapter 1. Just flip the page over. God is calling Joshua to a critical time in the history. How many of you will remember during this debate that's been going on the last several weeks, you heard the term a peaceable transfer of power? Any of y'all heard that?
Yeah.
And we've heard all the jokes about it and everything. But as that, you never heard, have you ever heard that before in the history of debates? You may have heard it passively, but it's been emphasized now more than ever. So I begin to hear that. And the Lord said it's deeper than what they think it is, a peaceful transfer of power. Because we're in the days now, there's a spiritual warfare going on between good and evil. God is about to do a transfer of power. I'm speaking to you in a revelation tone this morning. I don't claim to be a prophet or anything, but I feel like it's my obligation to stand here and give you what God gives to me. So I'm going to give that to you. There's a transfer of power. No matter what it seems like, no matter what it looks like, God will not fail. And we will not lose. We will not, I don't care how the election goes, as far as, well, if this one gets to this one, that's one. How many of you know God is still in control? Amen. God sent me here this morning to let you know there is a transfer of power. The enemy's had his heyday, and now, if you will know, that when the coming of the Lord is near, there will be a release of evil like never before. It's in the Revelations, the evil. And what that is the power and the grace of God, little by little, is going to be lifted. Now, you're seeing things come to forefront now like has never been before. I went into a time of prayer this weekend, and I began to thank God, because here's what it revealed to me, and I knew it all along, but it reminded me of what was going on. And the Lord was telling me, it's because of me that you haven't seen military riding up down the roads in America. All the other nations, there's war, you can't go out, there's shooting, there's fighting. How many of you have always seen that from the time we can remember? Some nations have always fought. But have you ever thought about that in America, it's not been that way? Why is it? Because we've got great military force and all that, and they are great, and they're wonderful, and I thank God for them. But that is not the reason. It's because the hand of God is on America. Now, I've seen with these floods that's come to our city, military vehicles riding down the road, Red Cross militaries, because their disaster has hit our nation in our city. And I'm going to tell you, chills have run down my spine, because if it had not been for God, that could have been an everyday thing here. Amen? God's in control. And it's going to be real critical that you listen to him. All right? It's going to take courage. Look what he said. Chapter 1, Joshua, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. And we know this story quite well, but I just want to bring your remembrance to some things. Now, look what he says. Moses, verse 2, my servant is dead, therefore arise, go over this Jordan. What's about to happen? They're about to go into a promised land. They're about to receive what God has promised them. Every time there's a season of blessing, before that there will come a season of destruction or distortion to get your eyes off of what God's doing. We're seeing some terrible things happening right here at our back door, and fear is gripping people left and right in our nation, in our city, in our leadership. But how many of you agree with me this morning? God is in control. And you got to believe that. I got to talk to you out of my heart this morning, because it's right here at our door. And you got to believe that. So he's telling Joshua. Now Joshua to this point has been a silent partner. All he's done is help Moses. He hadn't preached. He hadn't had a forefront at all. He's just been a helper. Now Moses is dead. And God is saying, rise up. The Lord is telling you today, rise up. Look around you. There's people who need things. There's people who need your influence. They need your direction. They need you to stand. When everybody else around you is crumbling, they need you to stand. You say, well, what about us? You know, we're human too. We get scared too. Exactly right. I do too. But I want to tell you, that's when you lean not to your own understanding, but you lean to an almighty God. How many of you will agree with me that playing church has been a big thing in this world up until now? But now we realize it's a serious thing. Amen? There's a serious battle going on between evil and good. So he says, I want you to rise up. Look at verse 3. This is powerful right here. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given unto you. That's yours. In other words, what he's saying, you're going to win this thing. You're going to go over to the promised land. You're going to receive the promise of God. You know, I was thinking about dying the other day. How many of y'all have that thought every now and then? I was thinking about that the other day, and you know what? My peace came all over me, because I understand that when I leave this world, I'm not going to taste death. I'm not going to taste death. I will not know what death is about. You know, you may go to my funeral or whatever, and there'll be a body laying there, but that's not me. I'm going to be with him, because to be absent, body's present with the Lord. Amen? And so I'm not going to worry about that. And then a peace came over me. Is there anything too big for God? What you're facing in your life right now, and some of you may be going through things that nobody knows about, but I want to say to you, is there anything too big for God? Let me hurry up. Look at verse 6. He's talking to Joshua now. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance to the land. Now, understand what he means by people there. He's talking about millions of people. He's not talking about 20 or 30 people. He's talking about entourage of people. And Joshua is standing there with this tremendous responsibility to lead them. As we look at America right now, with everything that's going on, how in the world can we make a difference? You may not make a difference in the great big world. But as I've said this before, you'll make a difference in your world. Amen? You will, but you're going to have courage. Now, why is he telling Joshua this? You've got to have courage. Because God understands that the battle is always dismayed by fear. Many of us have good intentions. I've had good intentions before, but when fear would grip me at times, I'd back away. Have you ever done that? I'd just back away and say, well, maybe that's for another time, and I'd miss my blessing. So he says, be strong and of a good courage. The people, look at verse 7. Now, next verse. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Be thou strong. The price of influence is supernatural courage. And supernatural courage only comes through God. How many of your prayers have been, Lord, I can't do this, but through me, through you, I can do this? You remember we said what Paul said the other day, that I can do all things through Christ? You remember that? Lord, I can't do this. When you're faced with situations, your family's going through things, and it's overwhelming. And I want to tell you, we're entering into days now that are overwhelming. We were able, little by little, we're able to gain control, semi. But what's going to happen when you can't gain that control? Are you thinking this morning? Turn to the woman beside and say, are you thinking this morning? Thank you for saying that. He said, all right, go to verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Be strong. And of a good courage. Look at what it says. Don't be afraid. Why is he saying that? Because you're going to be afraid. You're going to say, how can I do this? I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I love Northview and I thank God for Northview. What is our place? What is our place? You know, we think we're just a little church over here. We're not a little church. We got a great big God inside this place. Amen? And I feel that great big God today. So God don't come to little churches. We're a big church. Amen? We're a big church. And we got a big message and we serve a big God and we worship an awesome God. We're big people. Amen. Don't tell that person beside of they're big people. That they may take it wrong. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Neither. See, I tell you, learn to read every word. Neither. Don't be dismayed either. Because see, fear has a tendency to get you off track. So God says right here, don't you be. And he's telling Joshua this. Okay. Let me hurry up. Go to Joshua chapter 3 where we were going to originally talk about. Okay? It takes courage. It takes supernatural courage. Let me tell you what courage is. Courage is nothing you have within you. Courage is what God gives you. Courage is that supernatural gift. How many of you have been through things in your life and you look back over now and you say, I don't know how in the world I got through it. Any of y'all ever done that? How in the world I ever got through? I thought about Rose the other day and the stuff she went through with her throat. And I thought the Lord, I said, that's a powerful woman right there now. That's a real woman right there now. Because I'm going to tell you, so you think about them putting stuff down your throat and all this stuff. How in the world can a human being do? You can't do that by yourself. But there's a God that guides a doctor's hands. Amen. There's a God that steps in the room and says, I got this. Because I have, by the way, my credentials say, I am the great physician. And I am the I am. And I am the beginning and the end. And that's my daughter laying right there. And I'm going to take care of her. And the devil comes over to all this stuff. He says, you get over there and be still and be quiet because I got this. I don't mean to bring you out, but beat me up afterwards. But you just been on my heart this week. And I thought, what she's been through. You know? And the stories in Northview is over and over. Everybody's going through something. But we get through it. And we say, how did I do that? God brought us through it. That's courage. Courage is not something I tell you right now, I'm really going to be strong this time. I'm really going to be strong. And 9 times out of 10, by the time you get there, you fall apart. God supernaturally will take care of his children. And I look back over this storm. I look back all, you know, people who say, well, if God was so great, why do people have to go through storms? Because there's an evil force in this world. And you got to understand that God does not bring anything bad. All good things come from God. And the devil's out there and all bad things come from him, to make it real simple. And so when we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil, because thy rod and thy staff comfort us and they bring us through. Amen. God is so awesome. He's so awesome. All right. Chapter 3, verse 1. Joshua rose up early in the morning. So courage, number one. Second one is confidence. The second one is confidence. So what's the difference between courage and confidence? Confidence is believing in the courage that God just gave you. Confidence is the believing in the courage that God just gave you. Alright? How do you gain that confidence? By learning to live a life of obedience. By recognizing, I can't do this. I don't have what it takes to do this. But God, if you will help me, I will do this. He said, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days. Now, why didn't Joshua just rise up and jump right on over that river? Because he took 3 days to pray and to seek God and to get things in order and to make sure he had the mind of God. And so I want to tell you, the price of obedience is courage, but the second is confidence, because confidence holds hands with obedience. I can't do this on my own, but Lord, I know that you can do this. So for 3 days, he put military strategy in order. And look what it said here in verse 2. And it came to pass this 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, now I want you to get this verse if you don't get nothing else I say today. Verse 3. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place. Then shall you remove from your place and go after it. What does the Ark of the Covenant represent? The presence of God. You remember the tabernacle? And this church is great when it comes to biblical history. The tabernacle and the seraphims and all that. You remember how they would go in there to the Holy of Holies? And I want you to understand that the Ark of the Covenant symbolizes the presence of God. And so for 3 days he seeks God. He says, Lord, how are we going to defeat all the battles we've got ahead of us? How are we going to win all these battles? And the answer of the Lord came back, when you see the Ark of the Covenant move, follow. Is that awesome or what? When you see the Ark, in other words, when the presence of God moves, you move with it. That goes right back to my first comment today about supernatural obedience, supernatural courage, supernatural everything. Your life right now is supernatural. Do you know you're sitting there today and your heart is beating, and you know why it's beating? Because there's a supernatural God that's breathing life into you. You are a supernatural being. You're able, your mind is the master computer. It's computing all this kind of stuff in milliseconds at a time. You can mobilize yourself. You can do two or three things at one time. And I want to tell you, you are a walking miracle. You're supernatural. God created you to be supernatural. And the way you're going to survive is supernatural. And when we leave this world and go to be with the Lord, guess what? That's supernatural. I believe in the rapture of the church, because that's what the Bible teaches. And one day, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Amen. He's going to come back and take his church. And those of us that are looking and waiting for his appearing, the Bible says, are going to be able to go and be with him. Isn't that going to be a great time? All your grandmas and granddaddies and loved ones that have gone on before, They're going to be waiting. You talk about a hallelujah good time. We're going to have a good time. And evil will not have any place anymore around you. Amen. For the Bible says, for the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to what you're going to be receiving. So courage and confidence that God, you're going to do this. You're going to bring this to me. And the story goes on, and you can read it in your leisure. But I read on down there to verse 5. And it said, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And the Lord told me to leave that verse with you. You sanctify yourselves. You clean yourself. You ask God to sanctify your mind when you're hearing all this stuff on the news and you're hearing all these people say all these terrible things. I don't know how in the world we're going to make it. And I want to tell you, naturally, we all feel that way. We've all been on the bottom, you know, that kind of thing. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know who holds tomorrow, don't we? Every one of you in here have got a testimony to tell. Every one of you. You say, what is that? He's brought you a mighty long ways. Supernatural event after the other. Whether it be finances, whether it be physical. Now everybody's not going to believe a message like this. Everybody's not going to believe it. They're going to keep their eyes on the things around them. But what did God say? Follow the ark. When you see His presence move, you move with it. He'll tell you where to go. He'll tell you what to do. You know, sometimes I look at the miracles of God that we don't even understand are miracles. How many times have you ever been going somewhere and got delayed and couldn't get there on your normal routine? Who knows what God was protecting you from during that time? God is speaking to America today. He's speaking to you. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Father, thank you, Lord, today for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that we need to keep our eyes on you. Lord, help us intensify our prayer time. Help us, Lord, learn your voice. Help us, Lord, learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit that is within us. Give us strength and guidance, Lord, as we face these days ahead of us. And Lord, if there's somebody we're supposed to help, show us, Lord. Show us who we're supposed to help and what we're supposed to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening this morning. God bless you. Thank you.